All right. Well, we're on the air, and this is Patrick Webb from the Daily Astorian. It's a while since I've been on the radio, but welcome to 2010. Our guest today is Eric Thorson, who's the new Chief Executive Officer at Columbia Memorial Hospital. Welcome, Eric.
Thank you very much, Patrick.
Thank you for finding time to be with us today, and we're going to be talking about health measures. And I was going to ask you if you were going to settling in, but I guess if you've been at the hospital 7 years, you probably already know where the restrooms and other things are. Now, you're taking over from Terry Finklein. What sort of legacy has he left you at the hospital?
Well, Terry has left a fantastic legacy at the hospital and also for this community. Terry's tenure at the hospital was one of the longest tenured CEOs in the state of Oregon. Terry came to Astoria in 1989 and served almost a little over 20 years as a CEO. He did some tremendous things while he was here. He left the hospital in very good shape for someone like me to come aboard and have just the smoothest transition that one could ask for.
Excellent. Excellent. Well, good. Well, we'll certainly talk about the challenges ahead. Now, Chief Executive Officer of a hospital, you don't actually do the brain surgery yourself. What role is that? Essentially management?
Management, no brain surgery. I am responsible primarily for the vision, you know, leading the hospital into new territories, making sure that we're compliant with regulations, that new regulations, old regulations, maintaining current equipment, you know, just the overall leadership for the healthcare delivery system in Astoria.
Well, good deal. Well, now you brought up the vision, and we were certainly going to get to that later, but maybe we should talk about it now as you brought it up. When a hospital sort of looks ahead, and you with your board and others, how do you plan out? What sort of timetable do you use to plan ahead? And what do you mean by the vision for a hospital? Mm-hmm.
The vision for the hospital is really a process derived with our through our strategic planning process that we do, on a time frame that's generally 3 to 5 years in length, that we will sit down and put together strategic goals that we want to see the hospital, achieve during that time period. We're just with this transition with Terry, we're coming into kind of the tail end of our last strategic planning process, which had started about 3 to 5 years ago with the development of new space, you know, our new health and wellness pavilion, you know, needing to bring missing specialists to the community, missing services to the community. That was really our vision and our process that we're just starting the final phase of that with our renovation to our surgery department. We're just selecting our contractor at the tail end of this month, January, and that's about a $6 million project, with which wraps up our $22 million bond issue that we did in 2007, and that built our pavilion, bought some new equipment, and this is the last component of that bond measure is the surgery project. So our ORs will be completely renovated, our some office expansion, some administrative expansion, some laboratory expansion. All of those things were developed from our strategic plan, you know, that we sat down and created, you know, in that 3 to 5 year period. Now, with the change with Terry, it's an opportune time for the board, myself, the community, our staff, physicians, to all get involved again with a kind of a refreshing of the strategic plan. You know, what elements did not get completed out of the last plan? What are new elements that need to go in for the next 3 to 5 years? And how are we going to go about, you know, accomplishing that? So one of my first priorities will be to work on a new strategic plan vision for the hospital for the next few years.
And 3 to 5 years you talk about a couple of times. What's the significance of that time period?
Well, healthcare is dynamic. I mean, healthcare changes very, very quickly. In fact, some people are arguing right now that 3 to 5 years is too long to look forward. That you actually need to be more year by year, because there are so many changes, so many challenges that crop up from year to year, that your vision today might be different next year just due to circumstances that are perhaps outside of your control.
Well, now, you've been in the business quite a while, but I understand you're actually originally from here, and you sort of went away and came back, which is quite an odd dynamic. I mean, certainly not being critical, in fact, quite the reverse, but it's a pleasing dynamic to see a professional person do that. So tell us a little about yourself as a way of reintroducing yourself to the community. You're actually from Warrington.
I am from Warrington. I am probably as close to native as you can get. I was not born in Astoria. I was actually born in California, but my folks moved up here in 1972, which this will give everybody my age. I was about 3 years old when that happened. So I spent my childhood all the way through high school going through the Warrington school district system. Very, very happy with my I guess my ability to be able to come back to the community that I grew up in. And I have three kids that I'm raising, and there's nothing that makes me more proud to be able to raise my kids in the same community that I grew up in. There's no place that I would rather be. I came here for a reason. I did do schooling outside of the area. I have worked outside of the area.
I think you were in Iwako at one point.
That was my first kind of step back to this area, was an opportunity arose in Iwako to join that hospital. Stayed there for about 7 years, and then went to Peace Health in Longview. So most of my experience over the past 18 years has really been in hospitals in the Pacific Northwest. So I feel very lucky, very fortunate to have had the opportunity to join CMH about 7 years ago. And it's just been a wonderful ride, and I'm looking forward to many, many years to come. This is not a one stop or a stop in my career ladder.
A step along the way. Yes.
This is where I want to be, and this is a goal that I've wanted to achieve for some time.
Well, good deal. Well, I understand you're also a CPA. So is a lot of your background in the financial side?
I am schooled in accounting. That was my dip into healthcare to begin with, was on the financial side. Got a CPA right out of college, and didn't really have a reason to get into healthcare initially, but it was my first opportunity as an accountant to start with a small system of clinics in Tacoma, Washington, and use my financial background there.
So that's how you started, was that, being an accountant that just happened to be, or was available to be, a healthcare facility, and then you moved
essentially. Exactly. I moved very quickly up to the administrative level at that system of clinics in Tacoma, and then the opportunity in Iwako. The nice thing about the small facilities, no matter if you're finance or operational, you are exposed to everything in a small hospital environment. You know, you're not just a financial person with the green light and the shade on your forehead, because you just have to be so versatile and get involved with operational issues from the get-go. So my career started in finance, but I was exposed to these small hospitals to so many of the operational issues that I really enjoyed getting involved in the departments, you know, getting involved in the planning, getting involved so much more than just the numbers and cents of the hospital. I mean, I enjoy that, don't get me wrong, but it was felt early on that I had a passion for, you know, some of the bigger, you know, parts, the bigger components of the healthcare system. So, you know, going from small then to kind of a mid-sized facility with the St. John Medical Center in Longview, that was a kind of a different experience. That experience in Longview was more financial, and there they had enough resources and enough people that you kind of did stay in your area of expertise. And I didn't find that as satisfying as the smaller environments where you have kind of insight into all of the operations that go on. So the first opportunity that came up to move back to CMH was one that I jumped on with Terry 7 years ago. So.
Well, excellent. All right. Well, this is Patrick Webb from the Daily Astorian, and you are listening to After Deadline here on KMUN. Our guest today is Eric Thorson, who January the 1st took over as the new chief executive officer at Columbia Memorial Hospital. But as you're hearing, he's not the new guy because he's been around for 7 years. And then what was your original duties to CMH? It sounds like you've sort of been promoted up through the ranks.
Exactly. I started as the chief financial officer with Terry 7 years ago. And at that point, there were three executives, Terry as a CEO, the CFO, myself, and a chief clinical officer, someone that was over most of the nursing departments. That was the leadership team at that point in time. The board, I think, had the vision, if you will, about 3 years ago to talk to Terry and lay out Terry's retirement plans. I mean, Terry was very open with the board about his retirement plans. The board was very receptive, and they came up with a succession plan, which is, I think, one of the rarities in business a lot anymore. Mm-hmm. Is not that forward thinking to have a smooth transition. And the board created, at that point, Terry and the board created a new position called Chief Operating Officer, and that is the position that I transitioned in from financial officer to Chief Operating Officer. And that put me over more of the day-to-day operations of the hospital and put me in, not that Terry and my relationship was not close as financial officer and CEO, but really kind of connected Terry and I on a different level so that I could see and mentor, and he could be the mentor to me, and I could learn, you know, some of the components that I perhaps wasn't exposed to as the CFO. So I did that for 2 years with, you know, I guess the hope, if you will. There was never a guarantee, you know, this position was going to be the automatic CEO.
Oh, okay, so they didn't say, well, the job's yours if you keep your nose clean.
No, it was actually quite a stressful time for me.
Of course.
I did not know exactly what was going to occur on Terry's retirement or how the board was going to approach the interview or the selection of the next CEO, but I always felt like this was the best opportunity. I mean, if I wanted to become the CEO, well, then I needed to take advantage of this opportunity that was in front of me. But the board did put me through a very rigorous, about a three-hour interview, and I, you know, fortunately did very well, and they have come to value my skills, so they offered me the job, and I couldn't be happier.
Well, good deal. Well, I like to see people happy. This is Patrick Webb from the Daily Astorian, and you're listening to After Deadline with Eric Thorson, the CEO at Columbia Memorial Hospital. And I think Terry, our engineer, is here in the studio, and I think now might be a good time to, as they say in the radio business, pause for station identification.
And you're listening to Coast Community Radio, KMUN Astoria, and KTCB in Tillamook. Now back to Mr. Webb.
Mr. Webb. Well, I look around and look for my dad, because I'm not used to being called Mr. Webb. Most people call me Patrick, but of course Terry is very formal. You're listening to After Deadline. I'm here with Eric Thorson. Well, now, healthcare is in the news in a big way, and obviously the House and Senate have been discussing that back at Washington, D.C. There's been forums and town halls all over the country, big newspaper headlines. But let's try and put this in perspective at the grassroots level. You run a hospital, and the U.S. Senate is back there arguing about different things, and may eventually pass some legislation with the House if they get things organized. What are the key points that you're looking at? Obviously, we don't want to send our listeners to sleep by sort of reading out details of subsection B of the bill, but why should we care about what's happening, and how may it affect us when the dust settles?
Well, you're absolutely right. On a national level, it's difficult at this point to tell what the final outcome of this could be historic legislation may be. On a local level, there are several pieces of both the House and the Senate bill that are currently being reconciled that will affect Columbia Memorial Hospital in a positive way. I mean, the first and probably the biggest and the number one reason why these bills were created in the first place is the idea of covering more people in the United States with health, or providing health care insurance, some sort form of health care insurance. That is critical to us. We have a large population of people in this community that can't afford, don't have any ability to get health care insurance, or they're stuck utilizing the emergency rooms as kind of their primary care mechanism, because the emergency rooms, you know, have to see anyone that walks through the door. So where a provider in the community might not be accepting any individuals that don't have insurance, you know, our doors are always open, and it impacts the hospital. We have to obviously make up for the care that's provided at no cost in other ways. So the idea of getting more people covered through some form of health insurance will no doubt have a benefit to the hospital. Now, the flip side of that is, what do they take away in perhaps reduced payments from the Medicare program or the Medicaid program? And all those details are yet to be kind of worked out. So I don't have a good feel for what the true impact of, we've added this many people onto the health insurance rolls, if you will, but we're taking away X number of dollars from another pot. So that's yet to shake out. There are a couple key provisions. Senator Wyden was in town yesterday for a town hall. He introduced an amendment to the Senate bill that had a key provision in it for Columbia Memorial Hospital, and that is an idea, and this is a pretty detailed, a micro level here, but we are limited to a 25-bed capacity for our inpatients on any given day, and we do that for a specific reason. We get a little extra money from the Medicare program by limiting our size of our facility. And in most months and in most cases, 25 beds for Columbia Memorial Hospital is plenty. We don't have 25 people in there. But Wyden's bill changes it, or amendment would change it to a 20-year or 20-person average over a year, a time frame of a year. So we would have more flexibility to keep perhaps 25 people or 27 people and so forth. So there are some key components of the legislation that are yet to be worked out that would have a direct benefit back to the hospital.
Well, now, does it help or hinder you as a health professional to have health in the news in a big way? I mean, does it mean that you're spending a lot of time explaining things to lay people who've maybe got hold of some headline of whatever the latest thing is? Or is it actually a plus that there's more awareness that your job is important and what needs to happen?
Well, it certainly makes me a little more nervous. we're in the spotlight a little more than perhaps we have been in the past. But healthcare is in need of some change. So I'm certainly in support of the reform that is being discussed. How deep it will go and how effective it will be, I think, is yet to be determined. I certainly hear more about healthcare. I mean, I was at the town hall yesterday, and the majority of the questions were pertaining to healthcare. So it is out there quite a bit. We get questions in the hospital. We answer probably more questions, but I enjoy talking about healthcare. It's what I do. So
sure.
I guess in some ways it's nice to be in the spotlight, and other times it's not.
Yeah. Well, good deal. Well, now, I've lived in the American West the best part of 30 years, and in this community, which is the best place I've ever lived, for quite a while now. And every newspaper I've worked for has written about recruiting doctors in the rural West. Where do we stand on that? Are we in good shape? Could we do more? What's your take on that?
We always can do more. We have just come off what I would think is a pretty successful recruitment strategy to fill up our new health and wellness pavilion. We have brought some missing specialties to the community, orthopedics probably being one of the highest priorities that we had. We've also brought a physical medicine and rehabilitation physician to the community. We have shored up our pediatric clinic, where we only had one pediatrician in town for a number of years, and now we have three. You know, we started the urgent care program. So we have had success bringing specialists to the community over the past few years. The challenges appear to be in primary care, family physicians, internal medicine doctors. Those particular specialties right now are hard to find.
And why is that?
I think that there are a number of factors. Some certainly is income related. Some is the trend in medicine seems to be more subspecialty related. So I don't want to just be a general medicine physician. I want to be a subspecialty provider.
And this is more new doctors are sort of saying, I want to just do this.
I want to specialize in a particular area of medicine. And so you see that across all the specialties. Family practice docs, I just believe, are going to be our challenge. Now, we're very fortunate to have a wonderful group, a very committed and long-term physicians in the community in family medicine and internal medicine. So we don't, while we probably have a need, that's not probably our highest need at this moment. We're still looking for another orthopedic surgeon. That community need for orthopedics is huge. We see on average probably 45 to 50 people a day through our orthopedic program, and we still have a 3 to 4 week backlog before you can get into the clinic. So a huge need there.
And that reflects the demographics of the community.
Absolutely.
Well, good. Well, if there's any orthopedic surgeons who are listening who'd like to live at the beach and work with this fine fellow, Eric Thorson, then I'm sure we can give out his address later. And I'm sure
we'd love to have
you. If you're not smart enough to track down the hospital's address, we don't want you. Well, good deal. Well, now, your other areas of staffing seems like when I was dealing with my late father-in-law, who had some medical difficulties towards the end of his life, I was particularly impressed with the people who do the caring at the sharp end, the nurses and the nurses' assistants. Where do you stand in that sort of department? There used to be a shortage of those years ago. Is that no longer the case?
We've been fortunate to not have been affected too hard by the nursing shortage. We have our areas, you know, some of the night shift nurses, some of the, you know, particular departments. Finding OB nurses has been somewhat of a challenge for us. But for the most part, we have maintained a very consistent and very compassionate, caring group of individuals at the hospital. We have some nurses that have 30 plus years of experience of longevity at Columbia Memorial Hospital. So we have a very kind of long tenure. We don't have a lot of turnover in our nursing areas. So I feel like we've been very fortunate to have made it, not made it through, because there's still a shortage, but we just don't seem to feel the same pressure that some other facilities feel when it comes to staffing our nursing departments.
Well, now, how do you balance? I guess this question, probably a large question, and I see the clock, we're running out of time here, but how do you balance the personal side of care with the high-tech machinery kind of care? We're reading about MRIs and other machinery being wheeled in and set up and things like that. How do you, as a healthcare professional, balance the, okay, we got to have this latest equipment, with the personal side of care?
Well, Columbia Memorial's is part of a program called Plaintree, which is an affiliation program where it's basically all about putting the patient in the center of the decision-making process and making sure that our environment our environment is warm and friendly, making sure that we have the right equipment to perform the necessary exams and services for our patient population. It's one of the things that attracted me to Columbia Memorial was the plane tree philosophy, you know, that we hopefully you walk into our facility and you don't it doesn't feel like an institution like many hospitals do. So we balance, you know, what are our needs that are going to help our patients first? And we offer some unique things. We offer some pet therapy and aromatherapy. We offer our volunteers come in and bake cookies on the med-surg floor. We have no visiting hours, which is becoming less of a issue throughout the hospital system. But you can come visit your family at all hours of the day.
Is that rare?
It's not as rare as it used to be. Mm-hmm. We also have what they call an open chart. So you can sit down and review your chart with your family member, which is a little unique in this day and age. So we balance it by looking at what do the patients need. You know, obviously as an independent hospital, we have to balance the financial side of it also. So, you know, is the service going to generate a return? We can't subsidize all the programs that we'd love to have here, but. So that's, in a nutshell, kind of how we handle those situations.
Well, good deal. Well, now, what's the most fun part of the job?
I think seeing your decisions that you make come to fruition. You know, what I love about, I talked about the small environment. What I absolutely love is being able to see decisions that are made with our team come to reality and get to watch them go all the way through. Unlike a large system hospital that perhaps has a corporate board in Seattle or Portland that, you know, would govern, you know, or make the decisions for you. We're able to make the decisions right here in the community with our local board, with our team, and it's an awesome feeling to see things like the pavilion start from a piece of paper and end up to where they are today, brimming with life, full of tenants. It's fantastic.
Well, good deal. Well, briefly, in the last minute, what's your message to the community as you introduce yourself, reintroduce yourself, and look ahead with the Columbia Memorial Hospital?
Well, my message to the community is no different than I think what the mission of Columbia Memorial has been and always will be, and that is to provide as many services locally to meet the needs of our community as possible. We're here, we live in this community, we work in this community, we're supported by community. We need to take care of our community. And I do not want to see community members kind of forced to drive to Portland, drive to Longview for services that we could provide locally. So that's my goal. That's my challenge in this position.
Excellent. Well, certainly good luck with that. We've been speaking with Eric Thorson, who's the new CEO at Columbia Memorial Hospital. He's been in the community at the hospital 7 years and was originally from Warrenton High School. And thank you for joining us today.
Very welcome. It's a pleasure to be here.
All right. Well, I'm signing off. This is Patrick Webb from the Daily Astorian, and you've been listening to After Deadline on KMUN, the best radio station in the world.